on April 22nd, 2013, and I will open up the public hearing on Senate Bill 601. Regina.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, Senate Bill 601 has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. It allows a relative caregiver with whom a minor child lives to consent to medical treatment and educational services for minor children. After reasonable efforts have been made, consent from legal parent or guardian cannot be obtained. It clarifies the required information in relative caregiver affidavit and expiration of affidavit, relieves health care provider and school of criminal and civil liability for medical treatment or educational services provided in good faith.
Thank you, Regina. Senator Mona Sanderson.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. I'm State Senator Lori Mona Sanderson. I represent Gresham, Troutdale, Wood Village, and Fairview. And this is a very simple bill. I actually was reading some of the reports from NCSL, and I thought, you know, we don't have anything in statute. I remember when my children were young and I left them with my brother, I was very concerned that something would happen to me where we couldn't get back or somehow we couldn't be contacted and they needed medical care or they needed to get into school for some reason. Anyway, there are a lot of reasons why children live with relatives or grandparents and they're not in the state system. And that could be drug and alcohol problems, and the grandparents are taking care of them. They're, you know, suffering from mental illness or AIDS. They're in prison or they're deployed overseas. And when that happens, it is very difficult to get the child medical care or start them in school if you are not the legal guardian. So 41 states already allow caregivers to enroll children in school or make health care decisions on their behalf, even though they are not the legal guardian. And Oregon is only one of six states that do not have a medical or education consent law. So what Senate Bill 601 does, it allows a relative caregiver to provide consent to a health care provider or enroll them in school. They will not be liable. They will be liable for payment for any treatments or education services, but it doesn't relieve the legal guardian or legal parent of liability for a parent. So all the caregiver needs to do is to have an affidavit with the name of the minor child, the child's date of birth, the caregiver's name and date of birth and address, the relationship that the caregiver has to the minor child, and then, of course, an Oregon's driver's license or ID number, the contact information of the legal parent or guardian, and the description of any attempts that the relative caregiver has made to advise the legal parent or guardian of the caregiver's intent to consent to medical treatment or educational services. So, you know, our children are the most important things in our lives, and we should not have barriers put up that would prevent them from getting the health care they need or education that they need. So that's my bill, and I know that there's some things that we need to get on record. So I will try to do my best. Is there anyone else signed up? Because I can address that issue also. Wasn't concern coming from Providence that what if they were not able to contact the parent in any way, shape, or form? And according to DHS, and you may want to have Karen get this on the record in more maybe precise terms, that if a provider, if they can't get a hold of the parent, that is a sign of neglect. And so you would have to go through the state system, and then they would become the guardian who could give consent for medical care. All right.
Any questions of Senator Mona Sanderson?
Yeah, Madam Chair, thank you. Senator, just what you said about if they're not able to get in contact with the parent, you said that's a sign of the neglect. I don't think that's, is that exactly what you meant like that, or is there a little bit more?
Well, usually when I left my parent or my kids with my brother, I would always write everything out. And so that would have been proof that, you know, we went backpacking, okay, for a couple of weeks, and we could not have been contacted, and that was before cell phones. So I wrote everything in writing that it was okay for me, but if something came up, then my brother would just provide all of this information to the medical care provider, and it would be okay.
Just follow up. Okay, so you're just trying to identify some means of contact information, connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I just took that literally then, with, you know, that it was neglect. You're just creating a path.
It's a path.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Gallegos.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I was thinking about a question.
Thinking. Okay.
I haven't quite gotten there yet.
Representative Wisman.
Senator, your committee misses you, but they passed my bill, so thank you.
Oh, good. Okay.
Never on the show. Please not on the show without me there.
Any quick questions of Senator Manas Anderson? Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. And
so
there was no opposition at all.
Great.
And it passed unanimously.
Great. Thank you very much, Senator. And I was co-sponsor.
Wow.
I had a similar issue when my first grandson was born, and my daughter was finally letting me take care of him overnight, and she and her husband went down to the coast. And, of course, right off the bat, he fell off his tricycle, cut his forehead, and I had to take him to the hospital for stitches. Well, I was not smart enough, none of us were, to get any kind of permission, had to take him to the hospital. It was a huge, huge, huge issue. So then when Senator Manas Anderson brought this to me, I certainly could relate to this and agreed to co-sponsor.
Maybe,
so
maybe
thank
I
you,
do
Senator.
Have a question now.
Yes.
Is there an age that you have in the bill? I didn't look at that.
Well, medical consent is 15 years, depending on the issue, and then, of course, 18. But medical consent can be provided. So it's basically 15 and under.
Okay.
Although you could have it older.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
Any
you.
Other questions? Thank you.
All right.
Yes. Yes.
Jessica May just wanted to.
All right, both of you come up. The Bobbsey twins.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Jessica Adamson here today on behalf of Providence Health and Services, and we appreciate the assistance with DHS and the Chair for helping to provide answer to a question that we have. We want to be very clear, we are not in opposition to this legislation, which is very important. The question that we had specifically dealt with, what do you do in the instance where you have a parent or legal guardian that has given up custody or given that child to a relative, and in that case has it's resulted in you have a medical issue or an educational issue, and that parent refuses or is not in a position to give consent to treatment, and what happens in that case? And Karen has gotten a fantastic answer to that question.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Karen Mainzer, and I'm a legislative coordinator with the Department of Human Services. And in that case where the relative caregiver did not provide the necessary medical treatment, and it has to be something serious medical treatment, not something like head lice, but where the child needed medical treatment, the caregiver does not provide it, that's considered neglect. And we would go in, as in any other case, and work with the family to get them to try to get them to provide the medical treatment. And if they still refused, the court would intercede just as it would in a normal neglect case. It would not matter that the child was placed with a relative.
And Madam Chair, from our perspective, that's exactly what we would hope they would do in that case, to provide clarity for, at that point in time, our caregivers that have to step in and, you know, if they're in an emergency room, getting that consent and being able to move forward with those medical procedures is very important, and we want to make sure that we're doing that through a proper channel and that that's clear. So we appreciate the willingness of DHS to help provide that clarity, and thank you for your indulgence of that.
Thank you both very much. Any questions of these witnesses? Representative Gilliam?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I apologize if somebody's already asked this question. Was that answer related?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other
questions? Sure, it's just like it's just amazing.
I know, it is. Any other questions? Okay. If not, and nobody here is here to speak on this issue, I'm assuming. With that, we will close the public hearing on House Bill or Senate Bill 601. Colleagues, I don't usually have vote on the same day, but we're hoping to go on a field trip. We're not exactly sure if that's going to happen on Wednesday. We're not meeting on Friday, so we wouldn't be able to pass this until next Monday. It seems to me this is a great bill, and there's no reason to hold it up. Anybody have a problem with that? Then I will open up the work session on Senate Bill 601.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I move Senate Bill 601 to the House floor with due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson moves Senate Bill 601 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll, please?
Representative Gallegos?
Yes.
Representative Gilser?
Yes.
Representative
Gilliam? Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Wiseman?
Aye.
Representative Winsett?
Excused.
Vice Chair Bummer?
Excused.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Comey?
Aye. The motion passes, and we'll send the bill to the floor. I think this, I will carry this bill since I had some personal interest in this.
Oh, I wouldn't have voted yes.
Too late. With that, I close this the hearing or the work session on Senate Bill 601. And so it's our intention, of course, to go to visit the state hospital, but we're not exactly sure those plans are going to be firmed up, but we'll let you know as soon as we know. And we might want to talk about carpooling. I know Representative Gelser has an appointment right after that, but maybe we can talk on the floor about us carpooling. It's not very far away, but a little bit too far to walk. Anything, any other business? All right. With that, we'll close the House Committee on Human Services and Housing.
The rest of Virginia.